So let's review. The Gemara continues the discussion of Tilui v'Zavin Zvinei Zvinei and proceeds with the following incident. Tavi told Lepapi Akinara v'Zavin. Tavi hung Papi on a tree and coerced him to sell his field. And Chasim Rabbi Babachana Amayda v'Ashkalta. Rabbi Babachana signed as a witness on both the Maida, the document in which Papi, the seller, declared that he was coerced to make the sale, and then also signed on the Ashkalta, the sale document. Rafuna commented on this incident, Man v'Chasim Amayda Shaper Chasim. The shtar maida is effective in nullifying the sale. And ilav maida mandochas mashkalta shabachasim. Had there not been a shtar maida, the sale would have been effective, even though it was through coercion, because tului v'zavin zvini zvini. However, the Gemara asks, why is the shtar maida effective? If witnesses were signed on a shtar, and they later authenticated the shtar, but then added that the shtar is invalid because there was a maida, their testimony is not accepted because, as Rashbam explains, tarvayu maidu the shtar ma'alyahu, v'achshav bo'in levata de edus maida. The edim first admitted to the authenticity of the shtar, and now wished to disqualify it. This is not accepted because kimin shehigid shuvein chayzer magid. Once edim present their testimony, they cannot retract and change their testimony. The Gemara answers with the following distinction: hanemili al peh einemonin. Only where the witnesses first signed the shtar and then gave oral testimony of maida, their testimony is not accepted because the loyasi al peh moral shtar. As Rashbam explains, ein edus achrin mevatla esarishin de ein chayzer magid. The later testimony of Maida cannot disqualify the earlier testimony of the Shtar, which they admitted was written appropriately because Edom cannot retract and change their testimony. Al Bishtar in Nemanan. But where the witness first signed a Shtar Maida and then signed the Shtar Mechira, as Rabbi Bechana did, their testimony is accepted because Asi Shtar Umaru L'Shtar. An earlier testimony of Maida can disqualify a later testimony of the Shtar because it was written beforehand. The Gemara proceeds with a Machloikis Rav Nachman Umar Baravashi. They both agree in the case of Edim Sha'amru Amon Ha'yu Debreinu, Ein Amon. If witnesses were signed on a shtar, and they later authenticated the shtar, but added that the shtar is invalid, because it's a shtar amana, a shtar written with trust for a potential loan, but no actual loan took place, their testimony is not accepted. However, they disagree in the case of Edim Sha'amru Maida Ha'yu Debreinu, in which the witnesses added that the shtar is invalid, because the meicher, the seller, was Maisa Maida. He declared that he was coerced to make the sale. Rav Nachman Amar, Ein Nemanin. Their testimony is not accepted. While Ma'ab Rav Ashi Amar, Nemanin, their testimony is accepted. And as the Rashbam explains, the Machlekes is as follows. Rav Nachman holds in both cases Ein Nemanin because in both cases there is an issue of Kivin Shehigid, Shuvein Chayzer Magid. The Edim first admitted to the authenticity of the Shtar, and now they wish to disqualify the Shtar in which we say that Edim cannot retract and change their testimony. While Ma'ab Rav Ashi holds that in both cases there is no issue of Kivin Shehigid Shuvein Chayzer Magid because Milsach Ritika Masadi. They only disqualify the Shtar indirectly by stating Amana and Maida. This is not considered Chayzer Magid. However, according to Ma'ab Rav Ashi, there is another distinction between Amana and Maida as follows. Amana Hayi Devareinu in Amanin because Ze Loiniten Likasiv. As Rashbam explains, Kivin De Avlahu A Avla Loichasmi Ve'ein Ode Mesim Asmei Rasha. Since one is forbidden to write and hold on to a shtar amana, a witness is not believed to say that he signed a shtar amana because there is an avera involved. However, maida ha'idavreinu nemanin because zen nitin likasim. Since one is permitted to compose a shtar maida, a witness is believed to say that he signed a shtar maida because there is no avera involved. The Gemara proceeds with the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis. Loi le'ish chazaka b'nechse ishtoi. If a husband ate all the produce of his wife's field for 3 years, this is not proof that he bought the field from her. The Gemara asks Pshita. This halacha is self-understood. Because kivin de isle lepeiru, peiru hu de ka'achol. Since it is well known that the ksub entitles a husband to his wife's profits, his taking the produce of profits does not indicate ownership, and there was no need for her to make a macha. The Gemara explains, leitzricha de kasav la dinu dvarm ein lebenuchsayach. The Mishnah refers to a husband who wrote a declaration saying that he relinquishes his rights to his wife's assets, in which he is no longer entitled to her profits. And even so, ein le'ish chazaka because ein ish de'makpedes im yichel ha'perish likedin. A wife generally does not object to her husband eating her produce, even those that he is not entitled to. The Gemara explains that although ha'im le'chavere din u'dvarm ein le'asadazu ve'ein le'esik ba ve'yod misaleke semeno, if a landowner states that he has no claim to a field, or that he will not have any dealings with the field, or that he relinquishes ownership of the field. Loyar maklum, his statement is not effective, and he still owns the field, because there is no such transaction as removing one's ownership, as the Rashbam writes, "At sheyoyimu lachaveris sadi nesunalach, sadi mechurulach, sadi mufkeris lachom mishayirza." He must say or write a term of gifting, selling, or declaring it ownerless, which is different than siluk. However, in the Mishnah's case, the term yodi misulekes emen is effective, because it refers to where b'koisiv lavoida arusa. He wrote this statement before Nusun, while still in Eris and before he acquired the rights to Aperis. And the Oimer EF Shibit HaKanas Chachamim Shaymanoi. A person can reject an upcoming privilege awarded him by the Chachamim. As Rashbam explains, Shem Eina Chayshish B'Toiva Sh'asle Chachamim Lo'y Nitin La'bal Karachai Sh'ladai T'tiknu Chachamim. Since the initiative was only enacted for his benefit, he can reject it. Similarly, Yechayle Isha Lo'yma La'bala Eina Nezenes V'Eina Oisa. A woman can tell her husband, "I will not accept support, and in return, I will keep my earnings." However, regarding Nachla Dei Raisa Loya Maklum, a person cannot reject an upcoming privilege awarded him by the Torah, such as an inheritance, because Balkar Choy Shalo Yehei. The Torah gives him this benefit, even against his will. Therefore, Yitznen Alachem B'Loshem Matana. He must say or write a term of gifting it to the other person. Regarding the Mishnah statement, Loy Le'ish Chazaka B'Nechsi Ishtoi, the Gemara points out that it implies, Loy Le'ish Chazaka Haraya Yesh. Only a chazaka is not a proof of ownership, but a shtar, a sale document, is a valid proof that his wife sold him her field. And the Gemara asks, why is a shtar valid proof of ownership? The wife can claim she only agreed to please her husband, but in reality she did not agree to the sale, as we find this in the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. If a person bought a field that was designated for her ksuba from the husband, and afterward he bought it from the wife, the sale is not effective to remove her lien from this field. Apparently because the Amr Nachas Ruach Sisi Labayli. The wife claims that she only agreed to please her husband, but in reality she did not agree to the sale. If so, here too, Tema Nachas Ruach Sisi Labayli. The Gemara answers that it all depends on what kind of field was sold, as elaborated in the next daf.